Hey, yay. Welcome back. Final segment is Crunch Time. I almost said Sports Talk. On a Wednesday, that means it is time for the Crunch Exchange, sponsored by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Located at 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene. Phone number 541-484-2444. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, ask him if he's buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. There's also an option for pending. I'm Alex, by the way. NFL Combine is behind us, which means the draft is creeping up, which means the people who make mock drafts actually have some data to work with beyond wild guesses and speculations about team needs. The new CBS, but Steve literally hits himself in the forehead. The new CBS Sports mock draft put together by Ryan Wilson came out today, has an interesting shift in the top five. One, it includes Buffalo trading into the top five to get quarterback Baker Mayfield. But two, it has four of the top five picks going quarterback. Josh Allen, one to Browns. Sam Darnold, second to the Giants. Josh Rosen, third to the Jets. And Bradley Chubb, fourth to the Browns, followed by Mayfield. Saquon Barkley falls to the Colts at six. Now, this has been widely considered a weak quarterback draft, but never underestimate the desperation of teams to get a player at the sport's most important position. So, the prospectus. You buy yourself four of the top five going quarterback.
You know, in March, yes, when reality hits and they realize, what the hell are the odds of one of these guys being that good, much right. less four? So, if there's sanity in the world by late April, which I sure hope there is, I'm going to sell that.
It'd be a hard sell for me as well.
Giants take Allen and not Saquon Barkley. I'm on a plane.
Trae Young has declared himself for the NBA draft, hired an agent and everything. He was the best player in college basketball last season, though I guess this season because it's technically still happening, though inconsistent at times. He led the nation in points and assists per game, was thoroughly dominant most of the year. Some have complained that he's a chucker and a ball hog, but the numbers kind of speak for themselves. Dan Patrick mentioned earlier today a New York Daily News article by Stephen Bondi that claimed Young could basically be Steph Curry in the NBA, but that he could also be Jimmer Fredette. That's a fairly large swath of talent and ability.
There's a gap there.
But the way Young plays lends itself to be more of Steph than Jimmer. But what say you? The prospectus, Trae Young will be a Steph and not a Jimmer in the league.
I would go he's way more Jimmer than Curry.
Whoa.
So I'm going to sell that.
Look at you. Hot take Tannen. The PGA has all of a sudden seen a very large surge, and for basically two reasons. One, Tiger Woods is back, playing consistent, good golf. So good, in fact, that he is the favorite to win the Masters. And Rory McIlroy just won a tournament for the first time in a little bit. So all of a sudden, golf has its two biggest stars back and playing well. That has meant a jump in ratings for tournaments that don't usually get anything beyond very intense golf fans, and a renewed interest in the game from the casual fan who only pays attention when those two big names are in contention. So big names are in contention, Steve. The prospectus, the PGA is back.
Well, you know, you mentioned intense golf fans. For a lot of us, it never went anywhere. But considering where we are, March Madness, and hello, friends, and all the promos we'll be seeing on CBS, by the time the Masters rolls around, this is going to carry a level of interest we probably haven't seen since Tiger was a viable player back in 2013. So Tiger being back to being Tiger, I've never bought. That's never going to happen again. PGA being back on people's radar more so than the last half decade, absolutely, I'll buy that.
LeBron James has opinions on stuff. Also, no. he's really good in that Amy Schumer movie, if you haven't seen it yet. Also, fairly good and knowledgeable about basketball. He was asked about the NBA reportedly exploring the idea of a play-in tournament for the NBA playoffs, which would decide the last seed in each conference. And LeBron said no, and said it was a whack idea, quote-unquote. His opinion is that you have to earn your spot into the postseason, and there's no consolation in finishing last. He went on to call it corny and whack again. He's clearly a purist, but adding a play-in format could add some excitement to how the playoffs seed and would actually likely give him a longer break before he would have to start a playoff series, so it actually could end up benefiting him. But what say you? The prospectus. The NBA should adopt a play-in format.
First of all, and it's so sad because I loved Whitney, but every time I hear whack, I just see her in that interview. Crack is whack.
Yeah.
And in a way, we were supposed to assume that she prefers cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so painful to watch. The NBA playoffs, if you're going to tweak them, there's a different way. We don't need a playoff game. You want to know something? That idea is whack. Sell it.
A big complaint from NFL fans and coaches and players on the West Coast is early kickoff time. Maybe not fans. Most fans don't notice the difference in when the teams they follow or randomly watch during those 10 o'clock games, because why would they? But some West Coast teams, namely actually the 49ers, Rams, and Cardinals, are not happy with the way they've been scheduled, and those teams have proposed a bylaw that would mean no team would be scheduled to play more than three away games with a scheduled kickoff time prior to 1 p.m. in the time zone that they play in without consent from the team. I don't know if that made sense to you at all.
I don't even know what show I do anymore. I'm so confused.
So no team will be scheduled to play more than three away games with a scheduled kickoff time prior to 1 p.m. in their time zone. Okay, there you go. For instance, the Niners played five of those last year and went 2-3 in those games. So the prospectus, the NFL should limit early kicks for West side teams.
Well, it makes sense. If the NFL historically, ever since TV took over and, you know, the Super Bowl became the beast it is about competitive balance, and, you know, the salary cap, it plays into that, and where teams draft, and a lot of the other rules that are kind of geared to giving teams an equal chance year to year. So to just pay attention to when the games start and who's traveling where, it just makes sense. So, yeah, definitely buy that one.
All right, last one here. Carolina Panthers on the market because their current owner is a sexist or something. And apparently if you're a billionaire and sexist or something, you get to become even more of a billionaire because the team has reportedly reached the $2.5 billion rate in the market, which would be the most anyone has ever paid for an American sports franchise. The last NFL team to be sold was the Bills in 2014, which went for $1.2 billion. Actually, I think it was $1.4 billion. The prospectus, you buy or sell the Panthers worth that kind of skrilla.
Well, first of all, let's never, ever, ever, ever forget that Donald Sterling, after all he did, was able to sell the Clippers for $2 billion. The freaking LA Clippers, the laughing stock of American team sports forever. I know it's kind of the Browns now, but forever it's been the Clippers. I'm a great believer in our system, and like they said with Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy going into the New York Stock Exchange and trading places, the last bastion of capitalism, you know what it's worth? What a bunch of knuckleheads with a bunch of money are willing to pay. If they say the price tag is $2.5 bill, they're worth $2.5 bill. Buy it. All right. That is a wrap for another fine edition of the Crunch Exchange.